If you have ever been a parent and you had a baby, you know the thrill when that baby says the first word. It's a monumental occasion. And since the mothers do most of the work, they kind of resent it when the first word is dada. I don't blame them very much for that. But there's still joy as they watch that baby mature. When do babies usually say their first word? According to whoever does this kind of stuff, the answer is it's usually between 12 and 18 months when they first speak. But before that, there's another milestone around the first birthday, and that's when they take their first step. Oh, the joy, oh, the photos, oh, the videos, oh, the calls to grandmother. When the baby takes that first step, it's a major achievement. I vividly remember with my David and then my Debbie holding out my index finger, and they would grab it, or maybe my thumb, and they would grab it to help them stay upright. And they took those little stumbling steps, and I'm trying to keep them from falling, and it's so exciting. I can just feel the warmth of their hands around my fingers right now as I remember that. They needed us to help them not get hurt and to learn to walk correctly and safely. And once the baby learns to walk, there are new challenges that come in. I mean, we don't want them to walk into any danger. We don't want them to fall down. We don't want them to wander away. And when that baby gets a little older and becomes a teenager, we don't want them to walk with the wrong crowd and get involved in doing the wrong thing and getting in trouble. Can you identify with any of that? In a way, I have just described your spiritual walk with Jesus Christ, your spiritual journey. When you first came to Jesus Christ, you were a baby. And you made baby sounds, and everything was exciting, and everything was new, and you learned the joy and the challenges of walking with God. And you discovered that you needed help, too, to be sure that you didn't stumble and fall, and you didn't walk with the wrong crowd and get involved with doing the wrong things. I mean, if we opened the floor right now to testimony, I bet everybody in here is ashamed of some of the stuff they did when they were teenagers. Let's move on. The Bible has a lot to say about walking with God. What does that phrase mean? Simply put, it means, in the Bible, a metaphor for daily godly living. Daily godly living. Now, I think we basically understand that. I think all of us understand what that means. But have you ever tried to put it into words? Have you ever tried to explain it to somebody else what that means? In this day, when you're looking for what does something mean, most of us turn to Google. You know, what does Google have to say about that? So I did that. Now, I don't know who wrote these things, but I grabbed some quotes. I have three of them. Here's the first one. The first one said, walking with God means to be in harmony with Him as you journey through life. That's good. I like that. It says, to be in harmony with God requires that you listen to His commandments. I think what he meant by that is that you obey His commandments. And then it continues. He says, and it requires that you put your faith in Him and work to follow His path for you. That's all good. But here's the second quote, and I like this one better. It says, to walk with God means to keep Him at the center of our lives in everything we do, say, think, to keep Him in the center of our relationships, our finances, our plans, and, here's a big word, every other part of life. Wow, that's far more challenging than the first quote. Here's the last one I'm going to share. When we walk with God, it may not make things easy. Well, there's an understatement if I ever heard one. When we walk with God, it may not make things easy, but it makes them possible. Think about that. Think about that. How true it is. And it continues. Walking with Him gives us assurance of His presence and His power in our lives. And by power, I am sure He means all the great things that God can do for you and for me. But remember, if you do not walk closely with God, He can turn your life upside down. The whole idea of walking closely with God can be found throughout the Bible. For instance, this is a big one. After Moses was given the Ten Commandments, he had a lot to say to the people when he delivered those to him. And here's just a small sample of what he said in Deuteronomy 10:12. What does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I have given to you today. And I love the way Moses ended it, for your own good. If you underline in your Bible, those might be some good underlinings right there in red, for your own good. I hope you're not sitting there passively listening to me. I hope that God's speaking through me to you right now with these words and that you're hearing them anew. Because this is important stuff. Wake up. Keep listening. Much later in the Old Testament, Micah put it this way in chapter 6:8. And what does the Lord require of you? Moses said, what does the Lord ask of you? Micah said, what does He require of you? And this is what his answer is, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. I occasionally receive feedback about things I say in my sermons. And one of them this past winter, I told you that the doctor had said to me he wanted me to walk more. Well, that must have hit home with a lot of people because a lot of you had comments or questions to me about that. We've been told repeatedly how important that is. Scientists and physicians have ganged up on us, and they have said that is good advice. Just please don't ask me how I'm doing with that, okay? I read what one pastor had to say about that, and this is what he wrote. He said, do you want to be in better health? Simply walk. Is age catching up with you? Simply walk. Are you feeling like you're about to flip out? Simply walk. Feeling stressed, depressed, or anxious? Walk it off. Need to work through a problem with a friend? Walk through it. Great advice, but it's very shallow. And a pastor wrote that. He left out the most important thing. Walking with God. Walking with God. That's a big omission. That's a big mistake. And brothers and sisters, you and I are really good at making the same mistake. Walking with God is both the hardest and the easiest solution to all of your problems. Take that home with you. It's free. I give it to you. Walking with God is the hardest and the easiest solution to all your problems. That very familiar story in the Garden of Eden is filled with imagery and lessons for us. And I pulled something from Genesis 3 to share with you today. Very interestingly, God led me to Genesis 3 last Sunday too. I don't know if you remember that, but he did. So there must be a reason 2 weeks in a row he did that. I chose Genesis 3 today, however, because this is the first time in the Bible that it describes anything to us about walking. I'm not going to read it all because you're very familiar with it. The serpent tempted Eve, and she ate the forbidden fruit, and then she gave some of it to Adam, and he bit too, and then their eyes were opened, and they felt ashamed, and they knew that they had done the wrong thing. This is Genesis 3:8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from him. God walked with Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve walked with God. But this time they tried to hide. And God confronted them. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. This is verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life." Did you catch it? The serpent used to walk in the garden until he tried to take over. And God put a curse on him that he could no longer walk, but crawl. But God did not make Adam and Eve crawl. And he did not make you crawl. He could have done that to Adam and Eve. He could have done that to us. But he loved them so much, and he loves us so much, that he sent a substitute. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ because he had a plan. He had a plan from the very beginning. It's an awesome thing to even try to contemplate. He knew where this was going, and he knows where it is going. And brothers and sisters, that means we can still walk with him. Hallelujah. We can still walk with him. But of course, not everyone does, do they? And even those who do walk closely with him are not always consistent. Are you consistent in your walk with him? If so, please teach me how to be consistent. We keep finding the serpent. And he keeps finding me. He keeps finding you. And we crawl around in the dirt with him sometimes. And just imagine how that breaks God's heart. Over and over again. Okay, that was all Old Testament. Now here's the New Testament. Paul added something very important to this whole concept of walking with God. He said that we are to walk in the Spirit. And it's a capital S in the translation, the Holy Spirit. I'm sure you remember the verses from Galatians 5:22 where Paul's talking about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is, or are, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How are you doing with all that? And then two verses later, in verse 25, Paul adds this, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, in the King James Version and other translations, it reads, since we live by the Spirit, let us walk with the Spirit. But in the NIV, it says, let us keep in step. And I thought to myself, why is there a difference there? NIV must be more accurate because it's it came along much later with more scholarly work on it. But what's the difference? What's the difference in walking in the Spirit and keeping in step with the Spirit? And I loved finding at least one answer to that. Once again, Reverend Google taught me, and one commentator offered this. He said, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit means we have to dance. Dance with the Spirit, and get this, allowing Him to lead. Ed and Karen, I thought about the two of you. You love to dance, right? And you know what it is to keep in step, and you know what it is to lead. Hugh Brown used to be a ballroom dancer. Did you know that? Yeah. Anybody else dancers like Ed and Karen? That's a beautiful picture to me. And in Romans 8:14, Paul said this, those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Hello? You're children of God. Brothers and sisters, can you hear the music? Can you join the dance? Can you follow His lead? Can you keep in step? Well, that begs the question, how do I do it? How do you do that? How do you walk with God? And before I try to answer that, I'm going to do something unusual. I'm going to pause this message for about 3 minutes so that you can hear an anthem that I recorded with the National Christian Choir years ago. It's a spiritual, but it's a white spiritual. And for me, it just captures this moment, and I simply can't resist. So indulge me while we listen to this song. It's called Walking in the Spirit. I said I was going to deal with the question, how do you walk with God? And I'm still going to try, but another musical example came into my brain. I just can't help myself today, can I? This is also a spiritual. It's not a white spiritual, but it's a black spiritual, and they are so much better. And no one knows where it came from, but it was very popular among the blacks in the early 1900s and the late 1800s. And here's how it came to us. In the state of New York, there was an African-American composer by the name of Kenneth Morris. He was a very accomplished musician. He studied at the Manhattan Conservatory of Music, and he specialized in jazz and gospel. And just to give you an idea of his credentials, his band played at the Chicago's World's Fair in 1934. And get this, he was one of the first people to introduce the Hammond organ to the world of gospel music. Jonathan, have you ever had to play a Hammond organ in church? I have. When I was in college, I had to play a Hammond organ. I like that keyboard so much better than the Hammond organ, but that's neither here nor there. Back to Morris. One day he was on a train. He was going from Kansas City to Chicago. And at one of the stops, he got off of the train to get a breath of fresh air. And at the station, there was a black porter, and he was singing a song. And Morris heard the song, and when he got back on the train, he couldn't get it out of his head. And it got stronger and stronger and stronger. And so he got so consumed with this song that when the train stopped at the next station, he got off the train, got on the other train going back the other way, went back to that stop, got off, found that porter, and said, would you sing that song to me again? He wrote it down. He published it in 1940. And in 1942, the year I was born, by the way, that song became widely known all throughout America and throughout the world. And I'll bet you know it too. Here's how it goes, if I can sing. I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. The earlier question was, how do I do it? How do you walk closely with God? How do you walk closely with Jesus? How do you walk hand in hand with the Holy Spirit? Google gave me a bunch of lists. And here's a list of steps you can take to walk closely with God. These are good, I think. The first step is start and end every day in prayer. And to that I say, amen. Are you doing that? It will frame your day so much more differently than you could possibly imagine if you try to live by your plans and your power. Don't let your feet hit the floor in the morning without talking to God first. Take that home. And here's the second step. Know what is and what is not important. In other words, figure out the priorities of life according to the Word of God. And of course, that assumes that you know the Word of God. And that's followed with this step. Set spiritual boundaries within your life. And that reminded me of yet another song, a cute little song that I used to sing as a child in the children's Sunday school class, and I'll bet you know it too. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. And there are four more verses. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. And finally, oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. But walk closely with God. Set spiritual boundaries in your life, no matter what your age. Take that home. Take that home. There are so many lists like that, and we could go on and on talking about it, but here's the best answer to the question that I could find. It's in James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now listen carefully. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Let's pray. Father, may we embrace those words and walk with you hand in hand. In Jesus' name.